All right, my name is Josh Gamble. I'm a postdoc with the Soil and Water Management Unit at ARS in St. Paul. And I'm going to be talking a little bit today about our efforts to assess the drainage and nitrate leaching components of the Integrated Farm Systems Model. First, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Drs. Kristen Reed, Gary Feiereisen, Pete Bottas, John Baker, and Mark Powell. I want to start by introducing you all to the ARS Dairy Agro-Ecosystem Working Group, which I'm a part of. So DAWG, as we affectionately refer to it as, is a research collaboration that was established in 2014 with a focus on improving the productivity, competitiveness, and environmental sustainability of U.S. Dairy farming systems. And the group includes research teams across the country focused on some of the main dairy producing regions in the West, Midwest, and Eastern United States, as you can see. And one of the overarching goals of DAWG, it sort of falls in line with one of the USDA grand challenges. Our goal then is to reduce reactive nitrogen losses from dairy systems by 20% by 2025. That's the target. And one of the main projects that we're undertaking as part of this grand challenge is a whole farm modeling of nutrient cycling to evaluate potential trade-offs in nutrient loss pathways. And we're using the Integrated Farm Systems Model as the tool to do that. So the Integrated Farm Systems Model is a process-based model that simulates a variety of on-farm processes, all the on-farm processes, and it's widely used to assess environmental and economic sustainability of farming systems at the whole farm scale. It's been used pretty extensively to evaluate a variety of different processes regarding nutrient losses. And if you look throughout the literature, there's a variety of verification efforts that can be found. But one area that really hasn't received a lot of attention is this drainage and leaching loss component of the model. And this, we feel like, is an important component of the larger DAWG efforts to improve nitrogen use efficiency on dairy farms. So just quickly, I want to run through what IFSM is doing in terms of calculating drainage and nitrate leaching losses. It uses a couple components from other models to simulate drainage and nitrate leaching. The water budget is derived from series maize. Pretty basic sort of tipping bucket approach, accounting for precipitation, irrigation. Surface runoff is calculated with the curve number method. It calculates percolation, ET, and it also accounts for transfer between layers through capillary action. But the piece we're most interested in for our purposes today is drainage. So drainage from the lowermost soil layer is calculated as any water in excess of field capacity multiplied by a drainage coefficient, which is the DC you see there, and then the depth of the soil layer. So the drainage coefficient is also derived from series maize, and theoretically it represents the fraction of available pore space relative to the total pore space when the water is at field capacity, so that remaining pore space that's available. However, we have kind of found that, to get drainage values where we needed them for some of our sites, we had to go beyond what we considered sort of the physical limits of its meaning. And so it's one of the only ways we can manipulate drainage in the model, so it's become a calibration parameter for us. So one of the big things we're interested in is there are not explicit facilities for tile drain systems in IFSM. And so this is a particular interest for us. So we're located in the upper Midwest. Some of our sites in tile drainage is pretty extensive. So we're curious as to how well the model can do with tile drain systems. In terms of nitrate leaching, it's predicted using relationships from descent. And so the fraction of total nitrate leached from a soil layer is a function of the nitrate concentration, the sand content in the layer, the amount of water leached, and a few empirical parameters from descent. And so nitrate is leached in soil moisture. Anything that leaches down below the crop root zone is then assumed to eventually end up in the groundwater. So you see here that nitrate concentration, this K-texture parameter, is a function of the sand content of the soil. And this F-leach, or a leaching intensity parameter, is just a function of a preset critical flow for leaching, and then D is the daily drainage amount. So I've mocked up a figure here that shows for a 1 meter or 1 millimeter, excuse me, flow event, what sort of leaching you'd see given the soil nitrate concentration on the x-axis and then leaching on the y for three different soil textures. It's a pretty narrow band of leaching that's estimated. So simply our objectives were just to evaluate how accurate IFSM was at this point in predicting annual losses to start. And we wanted to do this for a variety of sites throughout U.S. dairy producing regions, for a variety of crops and manure management strategies, and again with this particular focus on tile drain systems. We've got both drained and undrained systems, but the tile drain systems is something that haven't been evaluated previously. So we identified, well, first I should say, so IFSM can be used as a like a farm field scale model where you can not model the livestock component, which is what we wanted to do here, so we could use just field-based data to evaluate the model. So no, we didn't include the livestock production in these simulations. So five studies were chosen that provided adequate information for data comparison, and for each study, scenarios were developed for treatments at each site representing a range of these practices you can see here. So we had both tile drained and freely drained or non-tile drained conditions, a variety of different cropping systems, both annual and perennial, and a variety of manure management strategies, subsurface injection, fertigation through center pivot irrigation, airway subsurface slurry deposition, as well as some mineral fertilizers for comparison. And our approach for the assessment was really to calibrate using two parameters, this drainage coefficient, which I've mentioned. We used a multi-grid method for selecting a drainage coefficient at each site that minimized the error relative to our observed values. And then crop yield adjustment factors. So really to use a similar process to dial in the crop yield to ensure that our ET was in the right ballpark, as well as crop N uptake. And then for today, our evaluation that I'll be talking about was just the annual nitrate loads observed versus simulated. So looking first at crop yield, you can see our correlation coefficient was about 0.6. Did reasonably well for most crops. You can see the light blue points right here are orchard grass crop that was fertilized with mineral, I think it was urea, had a hard time predicting yields for that orchard grass, whereas the manured version of that treatment was a little bit better. We had a lot of silage corn in these studies, and one of the things that we found is that in years where there was low or no manure application, the model had a hard time predicting those yields. And that's actually sort of these data points here. And the reason for that is that there's no carryover of nitrogen from year to year in the soil component at this time. And so that becomes problematic in manured systems where we would expect a credit following repeated years of manure application. In terms of drainage, our correlation was 0.67. We had observed a lot of variability in the data. You can see we had a broader range of observed values for our lysimeter studies than for our tile drain studies. But in general, it was reasonable. But I think what gives us a better sense then is looking at the water budget component specifically. So this figure shows annual drainage as a fraction of annual precipitation. And so if you look at say the two Minnesota and the Pennsylvania sites, the simulated values were within the 95% confidence bands of the observed values for the drainage fraction. For Michigan and our Wisconsin site, they were not as good. For the Wisconsin site, we really had to dial down that drainage coefficient to get the drainage down into the range that we observed. We think that has something to do with the lysimeter design in that study that was potentially not capturing all the drainage. In terms of nitrate leaching, well, it didn't do very well. So when we regressed our simulated values onto our observed, there was no significant relationship. and we had a Nash-Sutcliffe modeling efficiency of minus 4.2, so pretty poor, as in our average annual nitrate leaching loads would be a better predictor for future years than the model at this point. And you can see for some of the values, the green points from our Minnesota site, the model was really overestimating loads in that site, and that was actually due to overestimation of the concentrations in the leachate. I don't have a figure for the concentrations, but one of the reasons we think that that's happening, or we found that that's happening, is that the crop N uptake, particularly in our manured systems, was really too low. You can see, especially at our higher values of crop, where we would expect higher values of crop N uptake, the model just wasn't simulating that uptake, and so there's a lot of excess nitrogen left in the profile that was available for subsequent loss. The other thing that we found is that the model has a tendency to overpredict leaching and tile drain systems, whereas potentially has a slight tendency to underpredict in the lysimeter studies or the non-drained systems. And you can see that, so this figure is actually showing the leaching residuals relative to the rate of applied N for both types of studies. And so you can also see that this tendency for overprediction tends to increase as the application rate increases, which makes sense if the crop is not taking up that extra nitrogen as you increase your rate. The model is not simulating that appropriately. So for now, we feel like the drainage and yield calibration was reasonable, wasn't great. But one of the things we want to do then is, you know, we've started with sort of an annualized basis, go back in and start looking at more of an event or monthly type basis, and actually work on some drainage validation or drainage, more detailed drainage assessment as well. End leaching was poor. Again, this was due to, on average, an overestimation of the nitrate concentration in the soil, largely a result of low crop and uptake, you know, or underpredicting manure nitrogen to the crop. We're not sure at this point if that's the manure is not being mineralized properly, or perhaps there's a synchrony issue between the crop submodule and the mineralization of the manure. If it's a timing issue, that's something we're going to continue to try to figure out. And again, at this point, the model has a tendency to overpredict, particularly for our tile drain systems, with that overprediction increasing with N rate. So in terms of the application of this model for our needs for the larger dog efforts, you know, I think we've got some more work to do, and moving forward, potentially might look at making some changes with the model to better account for these leaching losses and, you know, give us a better representation of those when we start looking at our whole farm nitrogen balances. That's all I've got. Yeah.
Thanks, Joshua. Let's give a round of applause.